up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Pete first this week. Pete, how you doing?
Hey, Derek. It's me and Judy. Make sure to go see Zootopia 2.
No plugs. Next, we've got Steve. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm hanging in there.
Some nights that's about all you can do.
I'm surprised we didn't get a hanging in there poster at any point in this movie.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that they could have done that they didn't.
Yeah.
In case you guys didn't guess, this week we are doing Zootopia, the original Zootopia from 2016, mainly due to Zootopia 2 coming out today, the day we're filming it. So officially it's either Wednesday or Thursday, but in reality it came out on Tuesday, which is when we normally film our shows. So you have... think part of it is, what if the end of Monsters, Inc. was done with animals instead of monsters? It's kind of how it felt with the gal in charge being the one that's really the bad guy. But starts out with Judy.
Spoiler Hopp. Alert.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we're spoiler-filled.
Spoiler-filled spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows. Come on, don't you listen to what I'm talking?
I never listen to you, Derek. After
5 years, I understand, but you know. So Judy Hopp, a rabbit, has a dream of being a policeman. Beginning of the movie is basically her going through the process, because all the policemen are big animals, and her being a rabbit, rabbits can't be policemen. There's very much some. Instead of race, it feels like racism, but like a speciesism type thing going on there.
Yeah, there's, I mean, it's something to talk about in this movie, but I think of it as prejudice. One of the main cores of this movie is how prejudices affect our ability to work with people and how we see the world and everything like that. And you can't call it racism in this case. You could call it speciesism, I guess, but to me, it's more prejudices. So there's a prejudice against rabbits because they're small and, you know, they're not strong and they're believed to be stupid, that they can't be police officers.
And then there's, you know, so she ends up becoming a cop with the Zootopia, and the idea behind the Zootopia is that all predators somehow are no longer trying to kill things.
Instead of just humans evolving beyond their animal instincts, all animals somehow have. So yeah. You know, they never, one thing I notice is they never get into like what anybody eats.
No,
really?
Possicles.
Well, yes.
Possicles. Yeah.
Possicles. But you can also, when they're in the tundra, you can tell they eat fish.
That's true. Yes, you're right.
Because there's some of the,
fish did not,
yeah. Yeah,
so fish did not involve intelligence, but all, you know, basically all kinds of mammals. Actually, in this movie, we only see mammals.
Yes, it's only land-based mammals that are not apes.
Right. because that's true. We never see apes either.
Apes were seen as too close to humans for the illustration purpose. Guys, Kate just joined us, so I'm going to go ahead and pull her in.
What?
Kate. She's here.
She's late. Don't let her in. Oh, she's already here.
She made it.
So anyway, she becomes a cop but has a longstanding fear of foxes because foxes are, you know, foxes and rabbits, the whole thing. And foxes are also not to be trusted because they're sneaky, you know, sly like a fox. Mm-hmm. And the fox, Nick, to make a rather long, over 100 minute long story short, she ends up, there are predators that have been disappearing, and it's just at random. And then there's random acts of predator on prey violence. And Judy says, I can go help them and I can go find out what's going on in 48 hours, which was not that great of a movie, in my opinion. But so she ends up getting Nick to help her, ends up blackmailing her using this little recording carrot pen, which comes back later. And they end up figuring out that something is going on with the predators. And it's initially thought that it's just a genetic disposition to being evil, which again goes into the whole prejudice thing. But it turns out they're being shot with this serum made in the Breaking Bad trailer.
Exactly.
I mean, it's Walter and
Jesse. It's
Walter and Jesse.
Actually, if you look at the captioning, it's Walter, Wooolter.
Sure.
I did catch that.
Yeah. So they are making this serum, and if they shoot the predators, it turns them into, makes them go berserk. And ends up, they figure this out. They go to the acting mayor, who is actually a sheep that she has known for years, but ends up being the one masterminding it because she wants to get rid of all the predators because we're 90% prey and 10% predators, and you know, we outnumber them, so they should go away. Again, you know, fear drives everything.
Yeah, she says that, you know, you want to use fear to stay in control and stay in power. Which
10 years ago, heck, but now.
Yeah, this movie hit way too close to home for me.
But then they end up tricking her, getting her to confess on the little carrot pin, and everything goes back to, you know, happy, everything goes back to normal. So and there's jokes along the way and there's other parts along the way, but that is the main idea behind the story in like 4 minutes. So what about this show made us want to try everything? And that try everything is reference to the Shakira song, that it's one of those try everything, even if you might fail, is the line behind it. Which, it's interesting. When she was originally shown her character, she told the animators she needs more curves. So you can tell that Shakira had an input on the look of her gazelle character.
Gazelle, yeah.
So, Pete, I'll start with you. What made you want to try everything? What worked for this movie?
Gosh, a lot of this movie works for me. I think I said last week I've seen this movie at least a dozen times. My daughter was really into it for a while. There's a lot of really good animation, a lot of smart, there's a lot of smart jokes in this movie, jokes for parents, Easter egg type jokes, and still enough like silliness that kids can like it too, because I mean, you got you know, there's a lot of animal jokes. Oh, look, all the, I mean, I liked the like little things like Nick is making these lollipops, right? And he's making it for Lemming Brothers, right? Lehman Brothers. But they're all lemmings. And so they just all followed each other to the popsicle stand.
Which I think I mentioned this before, the whole lemons jumping off a cliff was created by Disney.
Right. But it's still what we represent is that, right, you know,
let me just follow blindly. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just follow blindly. Right. Yeah. So there's like a lot of that kind of like a kid would find it funny because the little creatures are just going to get these popsicles and throwing away the sticks and everything like that. But as an adult, you're watching it, it's like, oh, it's Lemming Brothers. Okay. I get it. You know? And so there's a lot of that in there. Actually, I think one of my favorite jokes is that the one in the foreman guy is Duke Weaselton. And voiced by Alan Tudyk, who also voiced Duke Wesselton in Frozen,
who they called Weaselton. No.
So I got it. Look, there's a lot of jokes like that. Already mentioned the Breaking Bad stuff, which like when my daughter first watched this movie, it completely went over her head, and you know, and it does that in a good way. Even the stuff about the prejudices, there's really some depth to this movie that I don't think necessarily your like 6-year-old or 7-year-old is going to particularly get, but as an adult watching it, you get more out of it. And I always think that's like, it isn't necessarily hitting you over the head with it, but it's telling you, it's giving you something more than just a silly story. So that's probably my favorite thing about this movie is that it's very funny, and it's very funny in different ways to like entertain both kids and adults, which is not always easy to do. So I'll leave some more for everybody else. So
what about I think you said a lot. There was just some really good like sight gags, some really like one-liners. The one that made me chuckle out loud was when he had the popsicle sticks and he's selling them. They go, "Why they're stained?" And he goes, "Oh, it's redwood."
Redwood.
That was brilliant.
And I guess the small things like the total the DMV thing, that entire sequence of all the sort of the DMV jokes you could think of. Of like taking the picture when you're not prepared. Just hilarious. And overall, it was an enjoyable story. I mean, it had some issues, which we could talk about next, but it was enjoyable. I liked it. And Kate.
Yeah, it was cute. There were parts, I said this in our group chat of how many Easter eggs there were. One of them was when they were like, when it was the Weaselton or Wesselton, they were like, all these movies, some that haven't even come out yet. And like Frozen 2 was in like the little, when they showed it, Moana 2, Frozen 2. So that was clever.
So that's got a historical Easter egg in it. I have to point out one of the movies they show is called Jurassic. And they were making at the time they were making a movie called Gigantic, but it got canceled. So that's the only reference in Disney lore to the movie Gigantic.
Oh, wow. Nice. The animation I thought was really good. The characters I really enjoyed. And it's excuse me. I have never seen this movie. I realized I had never seen this movie. I had only seen any bits and pieces of it. But it was such a huge deal in the parks because Nick Wilde and Judy come out a bunch of different places. So it kind of surprised me when I was like, oh, I have not seen this movie. Parts of it, there were some parts I absolutely did not see coming. There were some parts that I was like, oh, yeah, there's definitely just a blueberry in that gun. That's not the thing. So some of it was a little predictable, but I didn't see the little sheep maid lady being the villain. I didn't see that coming. So It was well thought out. It wasn't my favorite movie of all time, but it was pretty good. Derek, what about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed this. This was, as Pete said, there were some moments. I don't know there were any I actually laughed out loud at, But there were some chuckle and amusing parts that it's enough, though. That's one of those, oh, yeah, that's kind of fun. The story, I think, really worked. I think it didn't super hit you over the head with it if you didn't know what you were looking for. As my son said, if he had seen this when he was younger and had like watched it several times, he probably would have really enjoyed it. Watching it when he was, since he's been a little bit older, Griffin's, he would have been 8 when this came out. He probably didn't see it until he was in his teens. Mm-hmm. I have a confession. I am like, Kate, I don't think I had ever sat through the entire movie. I'd seen bits and pieces and I'd seen the end several times. So I kind of knew what was coming, but, and I think the end is, since you haven't, having seen enough of these movies, since you haven't seen a true big bad villain yet, it's usually someone you've already seen. So it's just one of those, the movie watching of, oh,
yeah, but I have to say the first time I said that I saw this, I didn't figure it out until the character showed up there at the end. Like when she's first asked, like, yeah, as soon as she showed up there, I was like, oh yeah. And then, they figured out like 30 seconds later. So it's not like I was way ahead of anybody, but yeah, I think they do a relatively good job of hiding who the villain is. Of course,
well, anyone watching, they also, I mean, they also really paint Judy as the villain for a chunk of it. Of it's because you said this and you did this, that now all this is exploding. And I mean, it shows the power of propaganda and the power of the words we use and trying to like that, especially in today's world, that hit home. Felt like it was like, yeah.
Well, and it's funny, no one treated her as a villain, but she realized that she had done something and said something harmful, and she considered herself part of the problem, and that's what made her quit, as opposed to like being fired or something like that, right?
Right. So I will say the song is catchy. The main Try Everything song, it's very catchy. Yeah. Even if you can't understand everything she's saying, every word, it doesn't really matter. Because I've never listened that closely to it, but just the rhythm and the beat to it it's a catchy song. I mean, it's still going through my head. So yeah,
for sure. And it's not a musical. It's got one song, right?
Right.
But it's,
And they don't, the only singing of the song is actually in like the closing credits. Think Chicken Little, how they sang Don't Go Breaking My Heart. It's her singing.
Judy listens to it when she's first traveling through Zootopia.
Right. Yeah. And several others that are, you know, the meta hole, you know, the Everybody Hurts and
oh, that's right,
the musical the instrumental one that she plays is called like I Loser or I Lonesome or something by Wynton Marsalis. So it's just there's a few meta outside jokes of like the different like when she's scrolling through her eye carrot,
right?
Yeah.
The names of the artists, you can kind of tell who they were supposed to be, type thing. But I like that there's not a ton of outside references in this.
Yeah.
So they don't hit you massively over the head with it.
Another thing I really like about it is the way they open the movie with her as a young kid doing this play, and it's like they explain the world of the movie in that 2-minute play such that you're set up to understand everything that's
going on.
You know what's going on. You know that there's predator and prey and that they live together and that they supposedly all get along and everything like that. And I mean, it sets up the perfect world. But I think there's a lot of really good storytelling in this movie that is not always done well. And I thought that beginning example, and also our family does a lot of you quotes that first scene a lot. We go blood, blood, and death,
and death.
Yeah. So, all right. Speaking of blood, blood, and death, what should be, have been prey to the editors? What could the editors have cut, or what didn't work for this movie? And Steve, I'll let you take it away.
Definitely parts the middle. I was watching it, the sort of the middle part drug on a little bit. I'd seen it before, but I started losing interest. So I really liked the beginning, the end. I don't know what I would sort of cut at that point, but I feel like the middle could be like shortened up.
Kate?
Yep, same. This movie, I think I need to watch it again. It just, I had a little bit of trouble holding my attention. And that very well could be just because I have a lot on my mind right now, but I struggled to hold my attention until like the beginning did, and then the end did. The middle, it just, other than like the DMV part, it just kind of lost me a little bit. That's really one of the only really negative things I have to say. It's not a bad movie. It's a good movie. It just, it could have been tightened up. It could have been tightened up a bit. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, I think my standard phrase is it could have lost 10 to 15 minutes somewhere. Yeah. It was an hour 40. The only longer Disney animated movie is Fantasia. So it is the longest of all of them.
Really?
Yes. As a kid, I think I would have wanted to know earlier that the sheep is truly the bad guy. Because as a kid, I would have wanted to root someone to root against the entire time. Because I never believed that the predators were truly the bad guys in this. That was never, and without a true bad guy, there's no true conflict. So, I think, which is why I think about the last 25 minutes is when they realize that what the night howlers are. From that point in the carrot patch to the end, I think is by far the strongest section of this movie, because you have a bad guy, you have a plot, you have know that something is happening. It should not have taken an hour plus to get there.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably my biggest complaint about this. Yeah. Pete, how about you?
I don't find much wrong with this movie, but I would agree with you. The section from where she recruits Nick to help her to when they solve the case, when they find what happened to the animals, is longer than it needs to be. I don't mind it myself because I think it goes through a lot of different territories. I think if anything, I don't particularly like the trope of the boss that wants their person to fail. So I think what I would cut out of it is like him, Bogo, being so aggressively trying to like say you're worthless and like,
right. Yeah.
I just I don't care for that part of the plot. And I don't think it was necessary to drive it. You could have had that motivation there without having him be so antagonistic towards her. Right. So I think that would be the one thing I would change is probably the same section that you guys are saying. The middle section is a little flabby. So
I would agree. Okay. So one question I wanted to pose for you guys is in this, these are all animals that are evolved. As we've mentioned before, they're all mammals and they're all land-based mammals. So I want to know, if you were in this, what kind of animal would you be animated as? And it has to be a land-based mammal that is not an ape or a chimp. But I mean, we got to follow the rules of Zootopia. So, Pete, to give you some extra time, Pete, I will let you go first.
Yeah, because you posed this question earlier today, and I actually thought about it for quite a while because I was like, oh, who would, you know, I don't want to just say, you know, a fox because that's what Nick is or something like that. So I thought a meerkat because, like, I can be very protective and, like, I can also be very OCD. And I think, like, meerkats have that, like, oh, I got to look out for predators. You know, very much protecting their home and their family and everything like that. But then also, you know, meerkats seem a little goofy too. And I'm certainly a little goofy. So that's going to be my pick. I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm not just doing this because of, like, Timon. I don't think I'm like Timon, but I think if we actually looked at meerkat, I think that would be a good choice for me. I don't know. That's what I came up with anyways. Except I'd be a fat meerkat.
I thought of meerkat, but going no. And then,
I also thought of meerkat.
No. and then I thought turtle, but turtle's not a mammal. It's a reptile.
Correct.
I feel maybe like
Kate, if you're ready to go.
I can go. Yeah, I'm a raccoon.
Okay.
I'm 100% a raccoon. It was between a raccoon or squirrel. However, my want as a human to have a raccoon as a pet is kind of ridiculous. Like, how bad I want a raccoon. And raccoons, like, they can be, like, fast and nimble, but they can also be little chonky chonks who just want uppies and, like, they just want snacks and they steal things and they burrow and they hide things. And they're also, like, real cute. I would be a raccoon.
I can see that.
Yeah. 100%. There's very little I won't do for food. So I think I am a raccoon. I was going to say squirrel, but I was like, nah, it's too easy. It's too on the nose, but yeah. Raccoon.
I think raccoon's better than squirrel, to be honest. So
yeah. Steve, did you come up with something?
Maybe, like, is the chinchilla a mammal?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there because something where I could adventure out, but if not, I'm going to roll up myself and hide and just sit still. Yes.
And I'm going to put myself, my initial thought, if I didn't have to follow the rules, was like a dolphin because as much as I love the ocean, but I have to follow the rules. So I'm going to go elephant for me because
I could see that
they're quick. They've got an incredibly long memory, which some of the stuff I remember is just sometimes almost scary sometimes. But at the same time, male elephants often want to just be left alone and not deal with anybody else except when they have to. And that is very much me. And a male elephant, there's not that much that's going to bother him, and he doesn't really care what anybody else thinks. And you can kind of tell him to do stuff, and it's more suggesting he do stuff. So that I see that kind of as me.
I thought you were going to say an owl, but then I remembered that doesn't really fit in our...
No, owls are not mammals.
Right. That's what I meant. It doesn't
fit in our... thinking of, as far as, like, the stubbornness, was kind of a bison.
Or but a donkey.
Watch it.
They're stubborn. I was just going off your stubbornness.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah. As if anyone believes that. Guys, any other thoughts on the movie?
I just think I need to watch it again. I think I need to give it another shot.
I like Kate. Like, watching again, and are they giving clues that it was Meriwether?
Yeah.
They aren't very much. The only thing you really get out of it is, like, that she's, you know, you realize, oh, she helped Judy catch Lionheart or whatever his name, whatever. Yeah. J.K. Simmons. We call him J.K. Simmons because anytime you get J.K. Simmons, but Lionheart, is that his name? I think that's it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing is just that, you know, she ends up helping them, but it appears because like kind of right from the beginning, she's rooting for Judy because Judy is, you know, Judy's a rabbit, which is like a sheep. And, you know, so she's, along with Lionheart is like kind of rooting for her. So,
okay. Is the sheep, is she the same sheep that's in the play at the very beginning?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, the only reason I think so is because every other sheep except for her has really weird sheep eyes. She has normal sheep eyes. She has normal eyes on a sheep.
I don't think that was the intention at all. You could look at a character, but I don't think, because I think if it had been the intention, they would have
set her name,
set it up. They would have set it up somehow. Yeah.
Okay.
And was the sheep in the opening sequence, was the sheep dressed as a wolf?
No.
No.
I do like the fact that, okay, if you're really paying attention, at the end, when Nick is supposedly going wild, his eyes don't change.
Right.
So that's very much a giveaway of, yeah, when you go back and watch it, this isn't really happening. So it's, plus, Judy would have been a whole lot more scared. I mean, running and freaking, yeah.
They really set that up with the blueberries, though, because they keep bringing up the blueberries.
Yeah.
But I think they were kind of trying not to make it too scary for kids.
He spills the blueberries.
Right.
So, okay, if it blows up and all that the night howler stuff blows up, didn't Batman teach us that vaporizes it and makes it a whole lot easier for people to inhale?
I learn most of my physics from Batman, so
yeah.
I only study Marvel comics. I don't study DC comics.
So anyway, as we always do, we give stuff cups of pixie dust out of 5, mainly because you are to my left, Pete. You get to go first.
So you guys may be surprised by this, but understand I've seen this movie a lot. And I just watched it again, and I very much love it. I'm giving this 4.5 cups of pixie dust.
Wow.
I do not tire of this movie. I was genuinely laughing at the sloth stuff, and I was like, why is this still like, you know, it's coming, but the way they do it in such a way that it just, the way she is so exasperated, and Nick is like, Nick knows what's going to happen, and he's sitting there like this,
loving
it. I just, there's so much of that with the characters and the performance, the animation performances and everything. I just do not tire of this movie. So 4.5 for me. I couldn't quite. It's not 5, but
yeah,
it's 4.5 for me. And I think you only get there if you watch it multiple times.
I would say, I remember seeing it the first time, I really enjoyed it. And this time I got done and I was like, it wasn't as good as I remembered. So I'm going with 3.5 because I walked in thinking, like you, Peter, it was going to be a 4 or 4.5. But when I was done, it's a strong 3.5.
I'm going to go 3. It was good. It was good. It's a good movie. I think I need to see it again. So, Derek?
And I'm also going to go 3 with an asterisk of, I think if I would watch this a couple more times, I think my rating would go up. I think I'm like Pete. I think
yeah.
The more I would watch this, I think I would appreciate it. The big strike it has going against us is 103 minutes. Long for an animated Disney movie. So, okay. So overall, I mean, we're between a 3 and a 4.5. So it's worth going and watching. So
for sure.
Real quick, expectations, thoughts for Zootopia 2? I've seen reviews that are good but not great.
Most reviews I've seen, I read a few reviews today, and they were not as good as the original, but a very good movie. And then I saw one that was, this movie stinks. So, you know, you never know. The one thing I would say with this is, like, I generally am not a big fan of sequels, because a lot of times there's not a lot of places to go with it. And I'll use Moana 2 as an example, that, like, they didn't really have any place to go with that, so they kind of retreaded.
They had a different island to go to.
Yeah, different island, a different story, different god to go against. Yeah. Whereas I feel like Zootopia, there's a lot of different things you can do with it, because, you know, we saw certain areas of the city, but there's other areas of the city. There's, you know, there's a lot of characters they introduced, but we only saw a little of. There's other characters. I mean, the example is the Zootopia Plus, right? Where they gave us these little vignettes of some of the other characters. So my expectations are not that the new movie will be as good as this movie. But it's one of the few sequels I'm actually looking forward to, that I feel like there can be a story there that can be interesting.
Yeah. Except for the fact that if the trailers are given that it's the snakes and the reptiles that are now the group that is trying to get included.
Yeah.
Really?
I got to give it a chance. My fear with any sequel is that, like, oh, you know, the sloth thing was funny, so now let's do 20 minutes of sloth instead of five. If they do that, I will not like it. The one thing that gives me hope is, like, one of the major new characters is they go to, like, a swamp area, and there's, like, a beaver that kind of is their guide. So, like, it seems like they're bringing in new characters. Like
for hoppers. Yeah. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
But I want to counter Derek. I think it's an interesting take if you're also mammals, and now they're throwing in, I mean, they went with reptiles, but they could have gone with birds or something. So it's at least not trying. Initially, we'll see where it goes of retreading what we already know. So,
yeah, and that is true, because, like, the original movie, one of the things to think about is, why aren't there reptiles? Right, it's all mammals. So, yeah.
It's too cold. No, anyway,
we didn't go to the desert.
Yeah, is anyone going to go see this in theaters, Zootopia 2?
I think we
probably
will.
Probably not.
Yeah, I honestly, we're probably not going to. So,
yeah.
Kate, what do we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yeah, not too much. First off, there's a Black Friday deal being offered for basic Disney Plus. The rate advertised is $4.99 per month for a year.
And that is Disney and Hulu. No ESPN's included in that, and that is the ad-supported. And it's only for new subscribers.
Oof.
So.
Interesting. And then last but not least, Tron Ares is going to be on paid streaming on December 2nd and physical media on January 6th. Still no Disney Plus release date.
I would not be shocked if they came to Disney Plus like December 23rd. To be perfectly honest.
Right before the holidays.
Right before the holidays. Yeah. Boost some numbers there for Disney.
Yeah.
So otherwise you're getting into January, you're getting into February, and there's no big reason to have it be.
Does anyone buy Disney Plus for a Tron movie though?
No.
Nope. Especially not that one, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
So
I enjoyed it more than the other two, but I wouldn't call it a great movie though. I mean, even though I liked it, I wouldn't subscribe for it.
Is it a definite sequel or is it just in the universe?
No, it's definitely a sequel.
Okay. So speaking of sequels that people may have trouble staying awake the entire length of.
Oh boy.
Next week, we are watching Avatar Way of Water.
And everybody's like,
no, spoiler, none of us really want to watch this.
Is this Avatar? Is this like
Avatar 2?
Okay, so it's not like Avatar: The Last Airbender.
No. This is
Blue People.
I almost rather watch that.
I barely remember the first one.
This is the same movie.
Oh God.
This is the same movie, but it's actually, if you're on Flight of Passage, it's the second half of Flight of Passage.
Do we have to watch the first one to understand the second one?
Not really.
No. Okay.
You just got to remember that Jake was a human and now he's an avatar.
Now he's a blue person. Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy. All right.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
As I said, I saw it in theaters and I did enjoy it. I just setting aside 3 hours is a long.
It's okay. 3 hours long. Yes,
3 hours and 12 minutes. Yeah. And from what I've heard, watch it on as big a screen as possible because otherwise it just loses it.
Okay.
Yeah, don't watch it on your phone.
Gross. Okay.
Watch it on your phone like James Cameron.
I may have to break it up, like watch an hour, take a break.
It's not a bad idea to break it in two. I would agree with that.
Okay.
Has anybody seen Wicked for Good yet?
Yes.
Did you like it, Steve?
I gave it a B. My other half gave it an A-B+.
Okay.
I prefer the stage production more than the movies. I gave both movies, because I saw both movies within a week, of Bs.
I didn't like the second half of Wicked in the musical, so I don't think I'm going to like it.
You're probably, no.
I genuinely disliked the musical because of the second half of it. So we didn't actually go see the first one in theaters. But we saw it on Peacock. Peacock.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy I enjoyed the first movie way too long. Unnecessarily too long, but it was still, I think I would have had a hard time watching in the theaters at three, because that's also 3 hours.
It would be very long movies.
That's as long as the musical is.
How did they take it?
It's twice as long as the musical.
Right. The first act is like an hour 40 or something like that. And they turned it into a 3 hour movie. I mean, some of that is special effects and showing you the world, but like.
Okay. I have a question, because we talk a lot on this show about it was too long, it was too short. Da, da, da. What would you say is the ideal time of a movie?
What kind of movie?
Okay. So we'll say animated movie first.
Hour and a half. Hour and a half. 75 to 90 minutes.
Okay.
Pete, I would argue 90 minutes to 100. So hour 30, hour 40.
Okay.
Should be enough to tell a story for a animated movie. Live action, I'm okay with about 2 hours. You should be able to tell it in 2 hours.
So I was going to say Marvel movie or a live action movie.
2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are exceptions. I think like Endgame needed the space. And I mean,
Endgame could have been 2.5 or 2:40.
It could have been any movie that's 3 hours could have been shorter for sure.
I feel like do we have Lord of the Rings fans in here? Are you guys Lord of the Rings fans?
Okay, Lord of the Rings movie and not really, but Lord of the Rings movies or the Hobbit movie? Because that's two completely different answers.
Sure. I don't know because I've only seen them once all the way through, but like, aren't the Lord of the Rings extended editions like 3 hours long?
Oh God, yeah.
At least.
And is it worth it?
I'm not a big fantasy.
We would need to ask a Lord of the Rings person.
Anyway, I would think a fan of the books would like the extended cuts.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm not a big fantasy person. I enjoyed the Lord of the Rings movie. I bought the extended cuts. I've never watched the third movie on the extended cut because the third movie's already too long. But I own it.
One of the first over 3 hour movies that was commercially successful without an intermission was Titanic.
Oh.
And that is a 3 hour movie it's long. I don't know that it would have been, I would have been hard pressed to truly push it under 3 hours. There's some of the, you know, Jack Rose Jack that they could have got rid of. But yeah. I mean, when it takes longer for the movie than it did for the boat to sink.
Oh no! Oh no! So
it
So I'll tell you why I think we're getting way off of Disney Plus. I'll tell you why I think Titanic works kind of at 3 hours is because it gives you like an hour and 15 movie that's the love story first. And then it gets into the actual movie. Yeah. And the actual movie is only an hour, like the actual movie of the sinking of the Titanic is like an hour and a half. So yeah. I think that's why if it's spent
two movies stuck together.
Right. Yeah. So it kind of works.
I would say the only movies over 2 hours that I truly usually enjoy are movie adaptions of Broadway musicals, to be perfectly honest. Like Music Man is over 2 hours. Just because the musical is music, most Broadway musicals with intermission are 3.
Mary Poppins is like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
How long was Hamilton?
Oh, God. Hamilton's like 3 hours.
Three. Yeah. Because it's a Broadway musical. Right. You have to have, well, there's a reason.
2 hours and 45 minutes.
There's a reason they call it the 10:30 song, is because it usually happens about 10:30, which is 2.5 hours into it. And there's about 15 to 20 minutes left in the
most. Most Broadway musicals are 2.5 to 2:45.
Yes.
With the whole thing. But yeah. Okay. So, but getting back to Wicked, my daughter kind of got into it watching the one. So Wicked is actually in Buffalo right now, the touring company. So they're going on Sunday to see. And I told them, I was like, well, you should not see the movie until, because they've never, my wife and I saw it, 15 years ago or something like that. I said, I didn't like it. She doesn't remember. So I was like, well, you take Adriana, you guys go. I do not need to pay $100 to see this movie again or to see this play again. So,
or to see the movie again.
Or to see, well, I definitely wouldn't pay $100 to see the movie. But so I guess based on whether they like that will depend on if we go to see For Good. If they wanted to go see it in the theaters, I guess I would go. But
like the musical, they should see the movie. They'll enjoy the movie.
Yeah. I thought they did a very good job with the first one. As I said, it definitely did not need to be as long as it was. I don't know why, like they added subplots that I did not remember at all. Like the whole like saving the animals thing, was that in the play?
It comes more up in the play, but they expanded on that to make it more understandable what's going on.
Yeah, to me, I was like, I don't need this subplot. This is too long. So
yeah. And as a Kansan who was sick of anything Wizard of Oz, I haven't seen the first one. I won't see the second one. I have not seen the musical. Just out of principle.
Let's go. The Wizard of Oz is a very good movie, though. Let's face
it's
the facts.
Scary, the original, but it is a good movie.
Unless that is all people who are not from your state ever talk to you about.
I've never asked you about if you're not in Kansas, there, Derek.
I leaned into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Guys, if you have suggestions on what we should watch, we're pretty much set for the rest of the year. We've got about 3 episodes left before we take our Christmas break.
What 3 things we should watch instead of Avatar Way of Water?
Yes. If you have suggestions and can send it to us before Friday, we should watch other than Avatar Way of Water and can save us, and we can say, well, we didn't have a choice. It's from our audience. Please, please email us at plusplatoon@.com. Send us carrier pigeons, you know,
smoke signals,
anything to save us from Avatar Way of Water.
You just use an email.
Yeah. YouTube messages, whatever.
Yeah.
We've got new episodes come out Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete, Steve, and Kate, I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving
next week. Bye, guys.
Gobble, gobble.
Watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.